You're tuned to The Weekend, a weekly public affairs show which airs every Saturday right here on KTEP. Good afternoon. I'm Louis Sines, your host for The Weekend, and joining us today is Brian Jaklet. Brian is here to talk with us about something that we kind of take for granted. We hear the commercials, we hear the spots, we hear the different warnings, but a lot of us don't pay much attention to us because it's always happening to somebody else and not us, and that's identity theft, cybersecurity, hacking, all that stuff. And we're going to touch upon that, especially when it affects your kids. Brian, thank you so much for being with us here today.
Thanks, Louis. I appreciate it.
Now, one of the things that, first of all, that stood out in this study that you all released, 56% of our kids are at risk for being hacked at some time.
Yeah. I mean, I think it just underscores, obviously, one, to your point earlier, just the sheer number of, you know, data breaches that we hear about on almost a weekly basis. You always think it's not going to happen to me, but the numbers are getting smaller and smaller and making it look like, you know what, actually it can happen very, very easily because the numbers are mind-blowing. You know, 1 million passwords stolen here, you know, 500,000 there. I mean, they start to add up. And I think the other aspect is just the fact that in this age, we are using more digital devices more regularly, more frequently, which obviously increases exponentially our risk to cyber theft. And, you know, I've been a victim on multiple occasions in the last year and a half, one where my social security numbers was hacked via a phishing scam from an old employer. And the other one, someone hacked into my eBay account and made a purchase or sold an item using my account information. And I had to go through PayPal and eBay and all these different things. So it's a fact of life going forward, in my opinion.
At the beginning of the interview, I mentioned that you are a cyber security. Gosh, I forgot the title you gave me, Brian.
Well, I'm a company spokesperson for UMA, and we focus on internet phone devices, a product called the UMA Telo. And then we also have a service that protects all your devices on your home network called UMA Internet Security. So I'm a spokesperson, but also a, you know, a security expert, if you will.
And again, some people will say, well, you know, there are a lot of companies who are trying to sell us their securityware, their spyware, whatever. The bottom line, though, as you mentioned earlier, is that everybody is going to be targeted. That doesn't mean that everybody's going to get hacked. But at some point, we hear so many stories about identity theft, stuff like that. And it didn't really start coming to light until the presidential election. All of a sudden, you know, we hear about the Russians and WikiLeaks and all that stuff. And so if you wouldn't mind sharing with us a little bit about how that plays a role in our everyday lives.
Well, yeah, and actually, I agree. It was heightened during the election. But, you know, we've been dealing with this for the last several years. I mean, you can trace back to a very high profile iCloud attack for celebrities where some of their photos were hacked and exposed on the internet. You know, there are a number of things you can point to, but I agree. I think that the election focused everyone on this issue because of obviously the stakes that were involved, the high profile nature of the information that was being released, the collusion, if you will, amongst different actors and that were involved in this. And I think that what it exposed was a very kind of also understandable hacking type of motion, which is, you know, this campaign person's Gmail account, which many of us have, or Yahoo Mail or Outlook Mail or whatever you choose for your personal email, that Gmail was easily hacked. Information was exposed, and information that you obviously that this was John Podesta, but among other people that they had on a regular basis communicated amongst staffers and amongst, you know, doing your daily job, get thrown out on the internet.
I think you bring up a good point also, because the fact that, you know, a lot of people used to think, well, I don't really have any big secrets, I don't have this, but just your account, your social security number is a big secret. It's something personal. And people, until it's happened to them, they don't realize how serious it is, and the fact that you feel violated.
Well, yeah, and also the fact that it takes a long, long time to rectify. And actually, in some cases, it never really goes away. I alluded earlier to my Social Security number being stolen, and actually had a tax return filed on my behalf. I have to file, not that this is a huge thing, but I have to file via the mail every time going forward now, right? I can no longer do electronic filing for the federal government, and I have to basically, you know, file different forms each year to make sure that I recognize that it's me. I think that you know, we kind of go back to, putting this in a place of our, that we can understand as individuals in everyday life, right? Which is the examples I gave, like, you know, someone hacking into your eBay account or hacking into your Amazon account and someone making a purchase using your information. These things, there are protections in place from your credit card company, from, you know, your agreement with different companies that you use for transactions and whatnot. But it takes a long, long time to rectify these situations. And it's time that we, frankly, could be using for many, many other different things. And I think that's where we kind of come into play here with our product, and I think with a number of other services that are out on the market, to just try to basically put securities in place to prevent these types of things from happening, whether that's your kids, whether that's the adults, or also, you know, go the other way, whether that's your own family members, your parents. You know, I know my older parents ask me all the time. They're like, hey, I got an email from Netflix. So I click on the link, and I'm like, no, do not click on the link. You know, go into your Netflix account, log in, see what they're saying to you that way. You know, don't fall for this phishing scam. So I think it's, you know, the education aspect and the communication that has to happen from the individuals is so important. I mean, it starts with conversations, whether that's talking to your kids, whether that's talking to your parents, whether that's talking to your spouse. I think that's really, really important.
Particularly this time of year, there are a lot of incidents going on because of tax deadlines, filing, refunds. And so, as you mentioned, with the example of your parents, sometimes you'll get an email from the IRS, and the IRS does not send out emails. Everything is usually by mail, regular mail. And so sometimes people, because they say, well, it's a convenience, I can just do it this way, and I'll click on that link, and then all of a sudden the bait has been taken.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, I'm skeptical now, too. I get these communications from the IRS. I worry that this is just yet another one of those scams, because these things have kind of been they've been done so well. And I hate to say that, but they mimic these things so well, and it looks so real that sometimes it's hard not to fall for some of these items. So I think that, you know, again, we go back to protections in place on the network. So what we look at from UMA's perspective is a cloud-based service that actually updates thousands of times a day, that communicates over the internet connection, so that any device that's on that home network, your PC, your Mac, your tablet, your smartphone, is protected from spyware, from malware, from phishing scams. You can put in the safe searching and filtering parameters so that, you know, that content that is illicit, like adult content, gambling content, gun content, can't be opened, can't be browsed on the internet by your kids, and you get different reports. And I think that those are, you know, not only those protections that you put in place, but the conversations you have with your children about these threats. You know, I would make the argument that it's as important and as an ongoing conversation as you'll have about, you know, the birds and the bees and the importance of all those other things that we remember as kids hearing from our parents. So I think it never goes away, though. I think that the education is ongoing as well.
We're visiting with Brian Jaclip. Brian is a cybersecurity expert with UMA, and we're talking about different ways that we should be careful because of cybersecurity that does not exist in many instances. And one of the things that I saw also in on your webpage and the information that Mauricio sent me is the fact that it used to be a big worry when I was a kid about watching too much television, stuff like that. Now, it's the opposite. It's kids spending 6 to 9 hours a day on the internet.
Yeah, up to 6 to 9 hours a day where you're not actually doing homework either. That's just pure entertainment. And I think that, you know, I have a 6-year-old and a 9-year-old. am guilty as anyone of putting a device in front of their faces to keep them entertained, to keep them occupied, whether that's a game they're playing, whether that's a video that they're watching. And it is pretty staggering to see not only the amount of time that kids are spending, but also the ages, you know, down to 2 years old. People are using these devices on a very regular basis to keep entertained. Now, there can be some educational value to it, obviously. And you know, I know my children use the computer for school, and it's very, very helpful, and it's very, very important. But I think it underscores the importance also of having to have these safeguards in place, because, you know, you can only kind of look over their shoulder and talk to them about what they're doing so often. There's a lot of times when they're not going to be, you know, you're not going to know what they're doing. And so having those safeguards in place while they're at home, on the home network, is very, very important for their own protection and also for your protection. And I think that, you know, we also talk about, having discussions as parents with other parents and understanding what the habits and what the experiences are with friends, if they're over at a friend's house or you know, whatnot. And also understanding and talking to them when they come back from the friend's house to make sure that you know, they're not getting themselves into trouble with things that they shouldn't be watching, shouldn't be doing there as well. So again, it comes back to that education aspect, it comes back to that communication aspect, which is so important, and then also putting in safeguards to protect them.
Brian, one of the things that also is of concern just to everybody, not just you know, parents, but the fact that I work as a college professor in addition to working at the radio station, and not just at colleges, but just about everywhere, you'll see young people with a mobile device. They'll be crossing the street, not looking up, looking down at that phone. And your statistics indicate that 91% of teens, and that's just teens, access the internet through mobile devices. And I would imagine college-age kids, it's probably even higher.
Yeah, and I think I just saw a report just briefly this morning that basically underscored the fact that you know, distracted driving, people being on the devices at all times, smartphones have really kind of taken over, and I think that's something we have to be very cognizant of. I think, you know, I was on vacation recently. It felt great at one point, 2 points where, you know, all the devices were down, that we were all talking, conversing. And I think that's we need more of that. We need to find time, especially as family members, to put these digital devices down. And it starts with parents, because I think parents are as guilty as kids in some cases with having these phones and having these devices in front of their face, always kind of scrolling, always looking, whether it's through social media, whether it's through news, entertainment, what have you. I think that is it starts with us, and we have to set much, much better examples for our children and also for our own parents.
And one of the things that people see also is the fact that people do not engage in social activities. They call it social media, but it's all done online. I've seen people who are communicating by sending a text, and they're right next to each other.
Yes. And I've seen that obviously in the workplace as well. You have messaging services like Slack and others where people are right across from each other, and yet they're communicating through their Slack account versus getting up or actually even just, you know, kind of yelling across and having a conversation with their colleagues. So, you know, it goes through all of our culture, I think, from the workplace to you know, to the personal activities and all those aspects as well. It just kind of underscores the fact that really is not social. It's sort of the antisocial aspect of it. And you know, a good conversation is really, whether that's on the phone or whether that's in person, a good conversation is important and actually cannot be overlooked, I think.
Well, preteens 8 to 12, the statistics are alarming as well. 56% own cell phones.
Yes, And I think that there are safeguards in place, fortunately, for parents to be able to have a little bit more control over the content or over the devices content and the applications that they're using. So, you know, I have a setup. My daughter has an iPad, not a phone, but an iPad that allows, you know, if she wants to download an application, it asks me first because she's part of my family, which I think is an important piece there. And then also, there are protections in place to prevent children from buying in-app purchases and you know, things like that. But it goes back again to, look, these children have these phones and have these communications devices at ages that, you know, what were we doing when we were that age? We were, you know, in the library looking at an Encyclopedia Britannica, or we were picking up the phone and touch tone had just been invented. And so dialing a number was, you didn't have to wait for the ring to kind of like go back each time. And so I think that, hey, look, times have changed. We all understand that the same way that our parents said that, you know, back when I was a kid, but at the same time, that just means that we have to basically educate ourselves. We have to communicate. We have to step up our game as well and make sure that we set parameters that I think, make for a, no cell phone zones in the home, maybe at certain times. Obviously schools have had to make adjustments as well. It is a huge adjustment and also a huge alarm in terms of the susceptibility to hacking and other things like that. But it just underscores obviously the importance of making sure that we're on top of these things and that we're making sure that we're putting the safeguards in place to help us.
We are visiting with Brian Jaklet, and Brian is a cybersecurity specialist with UMA, and he has been going over some of the statistics that may alarm you if you didn't know about them, as far as how many children use the internet, how many children have phones, what are some of the things that can cause you to fall into a hacker, phishing scams, all those other scams. And we're going to continue talking about some of those other things, but right now we're focusing on cell phones. And the fact that we talked about tweens having cell phones, but here's an alarming one, that 21% of children under 8 use cell phones.
Yeah, like I said, I have a 9-year-old. She has a tablet, or she has a phone, but it doesn't have the cell phone aspect on it. But if she has an internet connection, she can, you know, browse the web or pull up an application. And I think that there's, I'm not going to judge in terms of what is the right age to provide a safe cell phone to children. And I think a lot of, you know, as children get older and communication is so important, after school activities emergencies and all the different things that I think that play into this, it is important to have a communications device. But again, you know, if that decision is made at that age, at 8 or even younger, that, you know, making sure that the safeguards that I mentioned are in place to help parents ensure that the child is protected and is safe, and, you know, it does not click on links, does not put themselves in harm's way, because they are very vulnerable, they are very susceptible, especially at that age, to hackers, to identity thieves, to predators online, all those different aspects.
You were mentioning earlier the fact that, and I was mentioning also the fact that television kind of used to be used as a babysitter. Sometimes you put in a movie, a Disney movie, whatever, and, you know, do your work while the children are watching that. And sometimes now a child will be given a cell phone, not to make phone calls, but to mess around with it. And the statistic that you have here is that 38% of toddlers and babies under 2 have used a mobile device.
I know. It is surprising and yet not surprising. Whether they're sitting at the dinner table or at a restaurant, it is really easy, obviously, to pop on a game, not a game, but pop on a, you know, a show, little Einstein or something like that, and just put it in the child's hand. And let the child be entertained and then allow the parents to go on with their conversation or with their activities. I think that that's, you know, some might argue that, well, there's educational games that children can do at that age. I think it's purely for, you know, especially from a mobile perspective, you know, you don't have to be at home to put this thing in a child's hands, whereas TV back in the day, you know, was really more, for home entertainment. So this mobile entertainment aspect, this mobile entertainment phenomenon, it's not going away. You know, if anything, it'll continue to stay, and there'll actually be more. There'll be more and more people that are more and more younger people that actually partake. And I think that again, it underscores the importance of needing the protections there, both within the device but also within the home, to help make sure that nothing is pressed that might get someone in trouble. Because I think that's where you kind of go off the rails here, is that if the child starts to understand that they don't have to stay within this, this application necessarily, and they can kind of start venturing around, that's where it leads into trouble.
Now, sometimes, as you mentioned, the fact that, phishing scams, stuff like that, sometimes somebody will be on the internet, perhaps it could be one of our parents, children, or even us, and all of a sudden that ad comes up that says, warning, you better click on this or else your computer is going to be blown up or something like that. And right. That's scareware. So if you wouldn't mind sharing with us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously there's spyware, malware, there's phishing scams, all these things that kind of pop up onto your computer potentially because you're connected to the internet, because you have the internet is a great equalizer, obviously. You have access to all this great content. You can go anywhere. It doesn't matter if you live in a city. It doesn't matter if you live in a suburb or a rural town. As long as you have internet connection, you can go anywhere. And I think because of that, you are that much more susceptible to some of these attacks that would pop up that would force you to click, not force you, but entice you to click, make it look like, you know what, if you don't do something now, you're going to be really, really in bad trouble. And I actually think that this is even more so for parents and actually parents of parents' ages versus children. Children might just accidentally click on something like this, but I think that it's folks like ourselves and our parents who basically say, you know, oh, this, I got this warning, I need to click this to make sure that everything is okay. And the next thing you know it, $600 is charged on the credit card, and someone is forced to try to clean up the mistake that has actually been done. Now, other things that can happen is obviously the computer itself can be affected by this. They can pull information, personal information from that computer once it is infected with one of these spywares or malware type of applications. But I think the other aspect that underscores this is just purely clicking on a link that you think is legitimate, but is not. And I would give the advice that if you ever get an email from, a Netflix or some other kind of provider that you have worked with that tells you, hey, click this link to verify your information, or click, you might be susceptible of, we found a data breach, click this link to make sure that you're okay. Don't click that link. Go back into the app itself, log in with your credentials, use your password to log into the actual, the Netflix or whatever other site that is, and look for communications in a message or other kind of box eliciting that information. And if that information is not being elicited, then obviously do not provide that information, because that is how you're going to basically infect yourself more so than anything else with spyware, and also be obviously hacked and have personal information taken.
And some of these guys, Brian, have become so good that you read the website or the email, and it looks very legit because you're so used to, going to the eBay site or the Netflix site or whatever. So right. You're going, oh, okay. So this is a legitimate thing. And as you mentioned, it could be a legitimate thing for you to fall into that hole, and all of a sudden you're being dragged under.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, the best rule of thumb is obviously just to if you get an email from a provider, to go back to the website itself, don't click through the link, go back to the website itself, log in with your credentials, with your password and whatnot, and then see for yourself if there's something that you need to take care of.
We're visiting with Brian Jaklet. Brian is a cybersecurity specialist with the UMA team, and we've been going over some of the different parental concerns that are out there, and if you want to find out more about this, you can go to the UMA webpage, and they have the parental control report there, and you'll be startled by some of these statistics that are out there. But as Brian mentioned earlier, it's not just our kids, it's not just our parents, but it's us also, because we fall into those traps. And there are, it almost seems like, Brian, that there is a new scam going on every day, every week that we're not aware of.
Yep, exactly. And I think that's, you know, I would say actually not a new scam every week. It's literally thousands of different types of attacks that are coming out on a daily basis. These things are coming from all over the place, all over the world, obviously, as we kind of learned in the election. This is something that, you know, if you do not have the protections in place, you might get swept up in it because, you know, again, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And, you know, something like UMA Internet Security, it's something that's cloud-based, it's updated on a daily basis, thousands of times a day. It protects the home. It runs through our home phone device, which is called the UMA Telo. We offer internet phone service. And I think that you know, similar types of services are key to making sure that, you know, you're protected. I also subscribe to an ID theft service that obviously flags when my social security number has been used to open accounts. More often than not, they're the accounts that I open, whether I get a car loan or whether I open up a bank account or what have you. But services like that are very important as well, because they are going to alert you and also put in action safeguards that will protect you from someone that actually maybe has gotten your information, however they have gotten the information, and then wanting to basically use it to create an account or to buy a car or to, you know, do whatever else it might be that might get you in even more trouble, obviously.
Brian, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us here today and for giving us some insight to some of these things that we need to watch out for.
Thanks, Louie. I appreciate you having me.
We've been visiting with Brian Jaklet. Brian is a cybersecurity specialist with UMA, and we're going over one of the parental controls reports that they posted, and you can go to their website and find out more about this report by going to UMA.com. And as Brian was mentioning, there are a variety of services out there like UMA, different services. But the thing is that you need to be alerted, educated on cybersecurity and some of the things that you have to watch out for. Again, we've been visiting with Brian Jaklet. We appreciate your time. The Weekend is taped and produced at the KTEP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer, Kim Garcia. Our producer is Lauren Terrazas. You've been tuned to The Weekend. I'm Louis Sines.